And as we say, good Tuesday evening to you, live from Jack's Gold Line Stand in the West End. This is the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show, broadcasting tonight on the Shore Sports Network. Our AM stations, 1160, 1310, and at shoresportsnetwork.com. Matt Harmon for our regular ride around Monmouth football from 7 to 8 o'clock. We do this each and every Tuesday night. As always, by the head coach of MU, Kevin Callahan, on the show tonight. We'll talk offense with fullback Jake Morrow, defense with fifth-year senior Andrew Sutton. We'll also spend a couple of minutes with David Archer, the first-year head coach of the Big Red of Cornell. That is Mama's next opponent coming up this 1 o'clock kickoff at Kessler Field. MU back home for their third of four home matchups. Should be a fun one. Homecoming will be obviously the theme, and the theme certainly for Mama's will be to erase what was a very disappointing and probably discouraging loss out of St. Francis, Pennsylvania, a week ago, 28-10, the final score this past Saturday. And coaches, says, I wish a good evening to you. I'm sure you're wishing you could probably hit the pause button and go back to where we were last Tuesday, talking about on a three-game roll, getting ready for a win and be able to return home at 4-3. But it was a game for Monmouth that really, as we start to break it down, started off poorly and didn't get much better as the day went on.
Well, it certainly didn't, Matt. And, you know, I tell our guys all the time that when you play a game, you can't hit the rewind button and erase it and go back and start over and do it again. You get one opportunity, you have one chance. You've got to make sure that you're prepared and you're doing things right the first time and the only time. And, you know, we didn't do that last week, unfortunately. I don't know if I'd call it frustrating, disappointing, or an angry game, because I'm angry about it. It's a game that I thought we could have won. It's a game that I feel we should have won. We did some of the right things, but not enough of the right things.
When you think about it, looking at the game from a whole bunch of levels, I mean, obviously we say the game didn't start very well on the opening kickoff, and even from a broadcast perspective, we didn't have much of a pregame show because of a show that was on prior to us. And just about as I got done with Monmouth at St. Francis, records here, records there, opening kickoff in the air, and then all of a sudden, boom, St. Francis recovers a fumble and takes it in from 8 yards out. It was returned out by Tevron Brandon, certainly a returnable ball, and you know, we saw something from Tevron that we haven't really seen a whole lot, certainly in the special teams unit, and that was kind of make a rare mistake.
It was a mistake, and we tell our guys all the time that mistakes in special teams are going to kill you. If you have a penalty on special teams, it usually negates a big return or it gives the other team tremendous field position. If you have a ball mishandling error on special teams, it's usually a disaster. And to go down 7-0 when there was only 3 seconds off the clock is not the way we had envisioned starting that game. It put us in a hole. We dug ourselves into a deeper hole with very quickly thereafter, and before you know it, we were behind 14-0. And you know, St. Francis, to their credit, was they were excited, they were energized, they came out, they played very, very good football. And you know, we just didn't play as well as we could have.
As you look, you said that, you know, the hole got a little bit deeper in that first quarter, and it was the first quarter that, in so many ways, Monmouth just unable to get themselves on track. The fumble recovery won, and then the offense couldn't really get themselves going at all. A couple of things, obviously, to put some points on the board, but maybe even just to sustain a drive for a little bit, and then defensively, we'll talk about that unit as a whole, but maybe the one that was made was on a throw that took place from Max Ward, their quarterback, to Terrell Smith, their outside wide receiver, an 18-yard pickup that wound up putting St. Francis in that 14-point advantage still early on in that first quarter. And, you know, you hate to say, well, the corner in that play, which was Ify Isaluka, who got the start because of Joe Johnson being out with turf toe, made a mistake, but in all things considered, defensively, the team played pretty well. There was a couple of plays that mistakes were made, but that can happen in any game.
The defense did play very well, and just to go back to, you know, getting behind 14-0, you know, we give them the opening kickoff that results in us being behind 7-0. You know, I think five of our first seven drives offensively were 3 and out on the day. We never really got anything going. We gave them the ball in very good field position. They threw a 50-50 ball up into the corner of the end zone, a fade ball. If Yesaluka, as you mentioned, was there, he just didn't make the play. Their receiver made the play, had a slight height advantage, but nonetheless, they're ahead 14-0. It wasn't long thereafter where we throw an interception that's returned 44 yards for a touchdown, and now it's 21-0. And as I looked up the clock, there were still 6 minutes left in the first quarter. And that's a very, very difficult way to start, and it's a tough hole to put yourself in.
Monmouth was able to get three on the board before halftime to go in trailing 21-3. Coach of those plays, and we'll highlight the touchdowns from St. Francis. If you had to pick one,
highlight them.
Well,
we can talk about them.
Okay. Well said. If you had to pick one, that was the backbreaking play of the game. And obviously, in the first quarter, it's hard to say the game was over because it wasn't, with three quarters still looking ahead. But if you had to highlight one of those where you thought, boy, this just really isn't our day, would it be the beginning, or I would say even the third score, which was the pick six to go down 21-0?
I think it was the interception for the touchdown. We're behind 14-0. We're hopeful that we're going to get something righted offensively, and we're going to start generating first downs and moving the ball down the field. The defense really, other than the one fade ball to the corner, had been doing a decent job, albeit there was only three or four series. I thought we were settling in on the defensive side, and then to get that pick six for a score puts us behind 21-0. And now you've really got a lot of work to do. If you play perfectly the rest of the way out, you still got to score three-plus touchdowns to win the game. And so that was kind of the backbreaker. We told our guys at the halftime, trailing 24-3, that we had a lot of work to do. So the credit of our team, I thought that we did play a very good second half. I was very happy with the way that the defense played overall on the day. We knew, as you and I talked about last week, going into the game, that we had to stop their nation's leading running back in Kyle Harbridge, and holding him to 94 yards on 28 carries. I thought we did an exceptional job, and it just did enough on that day. I think St. Francis had 234 yards of total offense. I think if we talk about that, we'd take in most games. It just Saturday, it wasn't enough.
28-10, the final score. Monmouth did cut it to 21-10 on a reverse to Thaddeus Richards from 8 yards out, and then Kyle Harbridge actually had the big run of the day to cap out the scoring, a 23-yard run that put the game out of reach a little bit at 28-10. So a couple things, Coach, that we haven't had to do so far this season, but obviously on the attention meter pretty high going into this week's game against Cornell. Right late second quarter, Brandon Hill a little bit shaken up. He was replaced at halftime. We didn't know at the time doing the broadcast whether it was an injury or just a day that he was a bit ineffective. His final numbers, not great, 4-14, had that interception and 44 yards. Turns out that he did have what's being termed a head injury. And if you follow Josh Newman, who covers the Monmouth University sports scene, sounded like he's getting better. But maybe still a bit of a question mark for play on Saturday.
Well, Brandon did take a shot to the head on our last offensive possession of the first half. As you know, he went down. He kind of came off the field slowly. We reevaluated him at halftime. We made the decision to go with Greg Depew. We didn't feel that Brandon was quite right to go back in the second half. But, you know, by the time he got home, got off the bus ride, all the symptoms had resolved. He sat out today's practice more as a precautionary measure than anything else. He will be at practice fully suited up and going through all the drills tomorrow, so I don't think there's any doubt about what's coming up on next Saturday.
Just to be clear, you know, because there's so much talk and concern about that, it has not been called a concussion, more of just a head injury, at least up until this point.
But you've got to be very careful, and our guys are very cautious when it comes to head injuries, and you know, we take a lot of time with that. That's something that we pride ourselves in with what we do with our sports medicine department. And Brandon was evaluated immediately after the game. He was evaluated during the ride home. He was evaluated once we got home. He was evaluated again on Sunday and again on Monday. And we haven't rushed him. Yeah, he took a blow to the head. He was shaking up a little bit. But the symptoms have resolved so quickly that, you know, he's probably could have practiced today, but we held him out of today just as a precautionary measure, and he'll be ready to go tomorrow.
Sounds like one other key player on the offensive side, at least missed practice today. Julian Hayes was seen, at least by reports that were circulated around today, in a walking boot with an ankle injury, but didn't seem to be anything too serious.
Nothing that we're worried about. We're at that point in the season, Matt. You know, we're 8 weeks in. And guys have a lot of injuries. There's a lot of guys that we hold out of practice on Tuesday. As a matter of fact, there was 8 starters who did not practice the full practice today. More as a precautionary measure, more to give them an extra day of rest or a partial day of rest before they get into the work week. And we're at that point in the season where those things are starting to crop up a little bit.
Didn't play this past Saturday against St. Francis. So while we're on the topic, Joe Johnson with a turf toe, feeling better?
Feeling much better. through the entire practice today look back to normal.
Now, that's good news. Certainly be a good addition into the secondary this week with a Cornell team that loves to throw the ball and a great senior quarterback in Jeff Matthews. We'll talk about him a little bit later. So, Coach, to kind of cap things off with this St. Francis, you know, if I told you going into it, you'll hold Kyle Harbridge to under 100 yards. Their quarterback will throw for about 100 yards. You probably would have said, okay, we'll tell me where I can sign on the dotted line, and we'll probably be talking on Tuesday about another Monmouth win. So defensively, let's go there first. A pretty good day overall for the defense.
It was a very good day, a very sound game by everybody on the defense. I thought that, you know, going into the game, we knew we had to slow down Kyle Harbridge, at least keep him under 100. He was going to get the ball anywhere from 25 to 30 times, and if we could keep him under 100 yards and keep him from breaking a big play for a touchdown, I thought we would be in good shape. The other thing that we were very cautious about was allowing a big pass play through play action. When you give it to Harbridge that many times, you can be susceptible to the play action pass. So we were very conscious of that. And I thought in those two areas, the guys on defense did a very good job. And you got to credit our front seven on defense, particularly the defensive line, who did a phenomenal job of fitting into the run game and plugging up the gaps, the linebackers making tackles, and also the secondary guys who and the run support. Ify Asaluka, making his first start, was in on seven tackles on the day, and all of those were on running plays. And I was just happy with the way those guys played. Unfortunately, you've got to have all three areas come together. And one of the things that we haven't talked about yet, or one of the areas we haven't talked about, is special teams. We talk all the time as a team, as a program, about the importance of special teams play and how they can have a tremendous effect on the outcome of a game. And there were a couple areas where it came up on Saturday that hurt us. You know, obviously the first kickoff where we fumble, which results in a touchdown for St. Francis, is certainly a bad one. We're down 7-0. Later on in the game, we have a great kick return. He gets the ball out to midfield after their second touchdown. That return is negated by an illegal block. Later on, St. Francis is able to get a piece of one of our punts, and instead of being able to change field position dramatically, they get the ball at midfield. We end up blocking a field goal on that drive, but again, it's a positive possession for St. Francis. Those are the type of play, and then later on, even there was another instance where they returned a kickoff out past the 50-yard line. Special teams change field position. St. Francis won that battle on Saturday. They changed the field position in their favor, and it came away with points.
So that's two of the three units involved, obviously, in every game. The final one, obviously, the offense. And this was an offense that we really saw turn a corner, even in a loss to Lehigh, look so sound and fundamentally good in wins over Columbia and Robert Morris. I mean, to just throw it out, I would say, what changed so much from week to week? Was it St. Francis? Was it Monmouth?
Well, I think it was a little bit of both. I think first of all, St. Francis did a very, very good job of defending us. They were very aggressive. They were in your face. They played press coverage on our receivers. They did a good job of getting their safeties down in the box to clog up the running lanes. And they put pressure on our quarterback. And you've got to give them a lot of credit for us. I didn't think we were particularly – we didn't win battle up front with our offensive line like we had been in the previous three games that we won. We didn't win one-on-one situations on the perimeter. And those are things you have to do to be able to move the ball. I think if you look at our third down conversion ratio last Saturday compared to what it has been in the three previous weeks, we're going to see that it was a lot lower than what it needs to be.
What's the final question before we take a break? And curious, when we have both Jake and Andrew on to get their take of it, what is the mood like immediately after that game and then on probably what turns out to be an extremely long ride home?
Well, it was a long ride home, and I think that ride gave our team an opportunity to sit back and contemplate what just happened. Normally, a trip like that, it's probably 5.5-6 hours. We're going to watch movies. We didn't watch any movies on that trip. Guys had time to reflect on what just happened and what we need to do moving forward. And I think the mood or the attitude, if you want to call it that, of our team right now is angry. They're angry that an opportunity slipped through our fingers, an opportunity to have a win. And in the football season, well, this football season, you have 12 opportunities. One of those slipped through our fingers on Saturday. We're angry about it. We're not going to let it happen again.
And an opportunity to maybe take some of that anger out against the Big Red of Cornell, the same Ivy League we'll see this year. We'll talk Big Red coming up over the course of the next 45 minutes or so. We'll take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll focus a little bit more on the offensive side of the unit and discuss what the direction is now moving forward. We'll talk things over with fullback Jake Morrow. All after this quick break, you're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. We're back in 2 minutes on the Shore Sports Network. Homecoming on Saturday afternoon. The Big Red of Cornell will invade Kessler Field. Hawks will try and even their record back at 4-4 off season. Kickoff set for 1 o'clock. We'll be on the air at 12:45 on our same stations you're listening to right now, 1160, 1310 a.m. Great job by Ray Malaspina in the studios so far tonight. And great job so far this season by, I would say, one of the more pleasant surprises in terms of a guy maybe that you didn't know a whole lot about before the season, but he's worked his way into the rotation as a starter and a key guy on the offensive side. That is junior running back Jake Morrow, who gives us a couple minutes. Jake, good to see you. Thanks for coming on the show.
See you.
I say running back almost with like a blink of an eye in a way, because in the position that you play in the Monmouth offense, you say running back, you're thinking of Hayes and Asante, but sometimes people forget there is a full that exists in the offense. You and Justin Pandorf have done a great job doing that. But, you know, I would say, before we even talk about any game stuff, that role in that position is unique a little bit, because you know one thing. You're probably not going to really carry the football a whole lot, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, a lot of people say it's like the unsung hero like position. But it's no different than like an offensive lineman or something like that. I love my position, you know. It's just another piece of the unit. And I really love blocking for Julian Hayes and Katie Asante.
Now, a couple of things. I have to jump in here. A couple of things. We have never in the third year we've been doing the
third
show.
Third year.
We've never had a skill guy on offensively that says, I consider myself part of the offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, I really feel for those guys. I consider me like the sixth one, you know. We pretty much do the same job. I work with them in practice, and I work with them in the game. You know, there's nothing better. I mean, like you said, I don't get the ball, and there's nothing better than getting the last block and seeing KB or Julian run right by me for a touchdown.
Coach, it's kind of the definition of the position in a way. And as you listen to Jake kind of talk, I mean, the first word that pops into my head is unselfish. I mean, you've got to be a special kind of guy to be a fullback in the Monmouth offensive system.
Well, it's unselfish, and also a lot of times it's unheralded and thankless. I think the running backs obviously appreciate, you know, the job that Jake and Justin do, but theirs is a dirty job, and they've got to be physical, and they've got to be tough about what they do, and you know, there's not even a play in our playbook that has them getting the ball, and rare there's a couple that maybe we might throw it to them, but not all that many either, right, Jake? And it's about blocking, it's about opening holes, and it's dirty work. It's you're grinding out defensive ends. You've got to wedge them out of their position. You've got to go block linebackers, and you know, it's not blocking down the perimeter all that often. It's in there in the box, getting dirty, knocking people around.
Two catches so far on the season for 18 yards. Are those special moments for you, Jake, when you say like, okay, I might actually be an option coming out of the backfield, and you've had an opportunity to get through them this year?
Yeah, I mean, I consider them special. Like, I think about it after the game, but you know, after I catch it, it's just right on to the next play. You know, you gotta continue to do your job. Yeah, I mean, it's nice to catch the ball. Let's just leave it at that.
Well, I've got to mention here too, Matt, you know, Jeff Gallo, who works with our tight ends and fullbacks, H-backs, whatever you want to call them, does an outstanding job. And he's pretty easy to work at practice, right? You guys have easy days of work out there, Jake? You go out there and it's kind of like a picnic every day. I know I watch you and you do a couple ball drills from the beginning, and that's all there is to it. Is that true?
I wouldn't say that.
You wouldn't say that? Yeah. All right.
Coach Gallo does a really good job with the H-backs and the tight ends. He works just really hard. And practice is definitely not a picnic, but I definitely do get a lot of run blocking work in, but the occasional catching the ball. Like you said, it is nice to catch the ball every once in a while.
Well, that hard work certainly pays off. What you guys do in practice and the time you spend, you know, perfecting your technique and, you know, regardless of what type of block it is, pays off on Saturday. And I think we've seen that over the course of the previous four games leading into St. Francis, where we've had two running backs go over 100 yards each one of them, and everybody says, well, the line's doing a good job. Well, the line is doing a good job, but you know what? Our tight ends and our H-backs, our fullbacks are doing a great job as well, and that's right where you fit in. You deserve as much credit as any of the offensive linemen, as any of the tight ends do for that success.
Jake, is that a thing that, much like an offensive lineman, at the end of the day, when you look at the stat board and say, hey, our tailback had a great day today, I mean, that's almost a big compliment for you without even maybe getting your name in the stat column at all. If you're a guy who's getting the ball 25, 30 times a game, rushes the ball for that much, then you know that, hey, we had a pretty good day.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, when I see both my guys running for over 100 yards, or even one of them, I take pride in that, you know, just like an offensive lineman. I think it's a unit, you know. I like to say that, like, we're a unit, you know. KB and Julian, they may be getting the ball, but the blockers up front, you know, they're really doing the dirty work, and when those guys are running for 100 yards, I really take pride in that.
In another area where Jake has been, you know, contributing to the success on our team is in the area on special teams. It's something that he broke in doing a number of things last year in special teams. He's continued to do that this season. And, you know, when he's not on the field in the position of a fullback, he's out there on some of our special teams and doing an excellent job there as well.
Jake Morrow, the junior from Connecticut, who, as Coach said, kind of worked his way out on the field last year special teams-wise after not seeing any action in his first year. So now in his third year here with the program, I am curious, because Monmouth obviously is very centered, or at least up until this point, on the roster of guys from New Jersey. They've kind of found a little hotbed down in the Maryland area. What makes a guy who is a fullback, running back type from Connecticut look at Monmouth when, to be quite honest, you know, you think about the old Monmouth NEC schedule, there are a lot of schools up there that I'm sure you looked at too.
Yeah, I mean, recruiting in high school is a crazy thing. I don't think you really know where you're going to end up. And it's a process I was glad to end, and I'm really happy I came to Monmouth. But there's some NEC schools like Sacred Heart, Central, that are close to me, but I really wanted to get out of my state. And I really kind of wanted to just, I don't know, Monmouth, kind of just like random Monmouth in like a weird way. And
someone, I won't say who because I'm not sure, but I'll do some investigating. I would put my eye on Gallo, but I wouldn't say that for sure. Someone probably said at some point during the recruiting process, hey, we have big plans for the fullback position. We see that guy in like an old-style Mike Allstott type. He's going to get the football 10, 20 times a game, and now a couple years in, you're still waiting for that to develop.
Yeah, I mean, we're still waiting for those plans to go in. Maybe next year I heard those are starting to activate then. But, I'm really happy I came here, and there's no place I'd rather be.
I still remember the day you visited with your family, and we had the chance to sit down and talk, and you were here for the visit. And, you know, recruiting is a funny thing, as you said, Jake. Yeah. You never know where you're going to end up or how things are going to unfold. And here you are starting as a fullback at Monmouth and having a lot of success this season. You know, hopefully you're looking back at it and saying, hey, that was a great decision I made.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really what you make, no matter where you go. But like I said, I'm really happy. This is the place where I want to be, and I'm really enjoying it, and it's what you make of it. It really is.
Jake, let's talk a little bit about the season up until this point. You know, I think you take the season in segments. So the first three games, a bit on the tough side with the opponents that you guys had to face in Montana State, Liberty, and then obviously Lehigh. Things kind of turning around, even a loss to Lehigh, and then a great three-game stretch against Holy Cross, against Columbia, and against Robert Morris. So let's hit the stop button for just a second there before we talk about last week's game. The offense, certainly in the last three games, had really seemed to find its stride a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we were really clicking on the ground. You know, like you said, our backs basically almost hit 100 yards, both of them, in each of the last three games. I think KB was shy in one of them, like 97 yards at Columbia or something like that. But it all started on the ground, and, you know, the good run game really gave us the opportunity to go up top and make some big plays. As you saw in our last home game, you know, Neil had an outstanding day. Brandon Hill had an outstanding day. We were just really clicking. And we just kind of ran into a bump last.
Let's talk a bit about the bump because, you know, as coaches, I kind of went through the game a little bit. I would say as the evaluator, a passing grade for the defense, which played okay against St. Francis. Not such a good day for the special teams. And really, at least for this point of the season, after, I'll say, 3.5 games, with half being Lehigh and then the 3 wins that we mentioned, really good games for the offense. What happens all of a sudden? Things dramatically just change around, because it was not a good day running, throwing, blocking. You could pretty much take any category, and I would imagine that watching the films, it was not a very pleasant experience for the offensive unit.
No, I mean, the game didn't start like we wanted to. We had a kind of got slapped in the face special teams-wise, you know, gave up first play touchdown on our returns, the fumble, but offensively, we just couldn't get things clicking. We weren't on the field long enough. We were at time of possession wasn't nearly where we wanted to be. We just kept getting three and outs, and running the ball hadn't been working like it had been the previous 3-4 weeks. And you know, when we go up top, it just, when you don't have that run game, it really doesn't show off like it had been in the past couple weeks.
But one of the things that, you know, during that 3-week period that you're talking about, Matt, I thought we really, within our offense, we complemented. There was a great complement between the pass game. We were able to run the ball and get positive yards and move the chains, but we were also able to hit some explosive pass plays over the top. And I think one feeds off the other. And everybody always says, well, what comes first, the run or the pass? Or are you a pass-first team or a run-first team?
Depends on the game, right?
It does depend on the game. And I really think that if you're a balanced offense, you're going to have success. And what we ran into last Saturday at St. Francis is we didn't have the balance, and we couldn't go in either direction. And you know, you've got to credit St. Francis a little bit to that, but, you know, we just didn't have the balance that we had in the previous weeks.
Yeah, I agree.
Jake, when you have a day like that, which, you know, again, for Mom, hadn't taken place over the course of the last several weeks, what's it like on the sideline from a player's perspective? I mean, you know, things aren't working. Like you just said, pass game, we don't have anything going. The run game, which has been so good, we don't have anything going. I know you have to keep trying things, but at what point is everyone just kind of looking around saying, this is just not working today? Maybe it's not our day.
I mean, you just got to keep your head up, and I think you got to have a short memory. We were down 14-0, and then, you know, they went up 21-0, and you just gotta go back to practice. What was working in practice? What's your job? You just gotta go down to the little things, like the simple concepts. Each guy's gotta think about what I gotta do on this play, and when you get all 11 guys doing that and they do it together, then something big's gonna happen. And that's where you start, I think, when you get down at that.
You know, that's very true, Jake, and that's something that we always preach about. You know, do your job. To every individual player on the field, do your job. Don't worry about the big picture as much as what you have to do to succeed on this play, what you have to do to win your one-on-one battle. If you get everybody operating within that mindset and everybody taking each play with that in mind, you're going to be successful as a whole. And, you know, we just had trouble finding that spot on Saturday.
Jake, final question before we let you go. Is it as simple as that for Monmouth to get back on track this week against Cornell? Everyone kind of looked themselves in the mirror and say, for us to put that loss behind us, because obviously with 5 games left, still a heck of a chance for a good, successful season, to say, I've got to go back to winning my individual one-on-one battles. And then as a unit, everything kind of gets put together.
Well, St. Francis game is over. We came back, we watched the film, and we took the good things and the bad things from that game, and we moved on now. And this is a new week of practice, and that's we're preparing for Cornell. And I think with that mindset, you can just turn the page and get ready for the next week.
Well, certainly good to talk to you for a couple of minutes here tonight. Thanks for giving us a few. I'll draw something up. I'll slip it to Coach.
Right.
Pull back up the middle.
Really
something. Just let me know. Between you and Pandorf, we'll see if we can get a carry a piece before the end of the season.
Hopefully.
Jake Morrow, the junior running back, giving us a few minutes here tonight. We'll step out for a 2-minute pause. When we come back, we'll flip sides of the ball and talk things over with fifth-year senior Andrew Sutton. All coming up right after this. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan on the Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. We are back here from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End Tuesday night, talking Monmouth University football from 7 to 8 o'clock. Coming up still on the show, we'll talk things over in this week's matchup in a little bit more detail with the Cornell head coach, David Archer, who is in his first year, youngest head coach in the country at 33 years old. As we go offense to defense tonight, from Jake Morrow to Andrew Sutton, before we bring Andrew in, Coach, real quick, talking offense and defense, rare is the time that you've had a Monmouth guy in the pros This past Sunday, you had two Monmouth guys on the same field playing against one another in an NFL regular season game. And I say the offense-defense thing because Miles Austin, of course, with the Dallas Cowboys, playing on the offensive side, and Jose Gomes in the secondary and on the special teams unit, getting his first ever active start with the Washington Redskins.
It was great to see. And, you know, I actually had a chance to visit with Jose the week prior during his bye week. He came by the university and spent some time in my office. And, you know, he was excited because they had told him that coming out of the bye that he was going to be activated. He knew it was going to be against the Dallas Cowboys. He was very excited to be on the field at the same time with Miles, and it worked out that way. In the first half, I did see Jose on the field on a number of different special teams. I'll be quite honest, I didn't see much of the second half. That's much too late for me. But I did find out later on that Jose was on the field. They did see each other and went against each other on certain plays. Jose finished with a tackle on the day, so it had to be a very successful day.
A good day, certainly, overall. It was a good day for the Cowboys, who wound up winning that one. They're now tied atop the NFC East. As we bring in our player now, he is the strong safety of the Monmouth Hawks in his fifth year, Andrew Sutton, who's good enough to give us a couple of minutes here. Andrew, always good to see you again. I know
thanks
you're
for having me,
a veteran here on the show, being on last year as well. As Coach said, you know, the week prior, the Robert Morris game, Jose was kind of around, spent some time in the office with the team, with the staff. Was at the game that past Saturday as well against Robert Morris. What's that mean when a guy like that shows back up? I know Miles has done it in the past, and I'm sure Chris Hogan will be back around. But on your side of the ball, you've got a guy that you played with who's now in the NFL coming back to kind of check in and say hello.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome to see guys come back. And Miles is, you know, awesome player, great when he comes back. But it's different for me, too, just because, like you said, I did play with him. Our lockers were right next to each other for 2 years, so I got to know him pretty well. So I have more of a personal friendship with Jose than the other guys. So when he comes back, it's special. It's to see a guy kind of sat in the same locker room as you to where he's at now. It's awesome.
Yeah, it does certainly make it fun, I would imagine, especially for a player like you who played with him and now can kind of watch him. So fifth-year senior, let's take it from this perspective. Up until this point of the season at 3-4, how many passing grades would you give the defense?
Let's see. We have a board up there. I think our goal, I think the biggest goal is 21 points to be let up. So I know the first 2 weeks we didn't. Third week was 28. So I think the last four have been under 21 on defense. So I'd say four passing grades.
And I ask you this because we've had you on the show, and I know we'll get into this in a little bit. You're extremely smart. You have some theory that you're going to present to us tonight on the radio, which will be interesting because there's no visual to go along with it. So your skill to detail will be really important. Is it frustrating? And it's been on both sides of the ball. But let's say on this past Saturday against St. Francis, the defense played pretty well. You know, only giving up 14 points overall in the day, and it's the other units that aren't playing well. What's it like when you are the unit that's kind of your job, but the other two aren't really helping out?
It's definitely frustrating when you're getting your job done too, but that's what's great about this game. It's a team game, and you can't put onus on one side of the ball. You know, they had to be perfect that day. But the funny thing is, us guys on defense, we were on special teams too, and special teams didn't do their job that week. So it can't be put on one side of the ball. That's what's great about this game. It's a team game. You need offense, defense, as well as special teams to play well to win. And we saw that this week. You can't have one side of the ball play well and have special teams not, you know.
And I think coming out of the game on Saturday and certainly in our meetings on Sunday, I don't think there's a player on our team that didn't realize the impact that all three units.
And we welcome you back in from the confines of the Jack's Goal Line Stand here in the West End. Come on down for some great specials that they have each and every week here. We do this every week from 7 to 8 o'clock, the Kevin Callahan Mama Football Show. Matt Harmon along with the head coach of the Hawks as MU getting set to try and reload on their season and get back to the 500 mark. Looking to go back to 4-4. On the season, a interesting matchup against the Big Red of Cornell, a team that Mama having a couple of technical issues here tonight, so appreciate everyone kind of sticking around. Getting ready for Cornell, biggest thing we can tell you, the game starts at 1 o'clock. the pregame show at 12:45. We're on the air on 1160, 1310 a.m. Second matchup in this series, Cornell able to beat Monmouth last year in Ithaca, 41-38, a game that I think we kind of thought going into it would be dictated by offense, and it certainly was. That was a wild game.
It certainly was. Cornell, as we'll talk about, he has a tremendous passing attack. They throw the ball as well as anyone we've played over the years. They had a huge day last year, throwing for over 500 yards, and it was really a game that was a trap meet. Neither defense was able to stop the other one for the other team's offense for any sustained period of time. And offense has traded scores, and they were able to get the last
41-30 score. Monmouth will try and even the series up. Second team on the Ivy League schedule this year. Last year, Cornell was the first ever Ivy that Monmouth played. This year, already a win against the coach. Couple things as again, we wait to be joined by David Archer, the head coach, who I understand has given us a couple of minutes here. Coach, it's Matt Harmon and Kevin Callahan here in West Long Branch, New Jersey. How are you tonight?
Hey, how's it going? I appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks so much for giving us a few minutes. We were kind of talking a little bit about last year's game, which I know as an assistant coach with Cornell, you certainly saw up close and personal, and a lot of offense to be dictated in the game a year ago. And as we look at what you guys have done so far this year, putting up points has not been much of a problem for you. So I would think on Saturday, Coach, you might see some more offense between these two teams.
Well, I think last year was the first ever meeting between Monmouth and Cornell, and what a football game, And I think Monmouth is a really good team, and they're really well coached, Coach Callahan and his staff. And, it's going to be a great atmosphere down in New Jersey on Saturday. And, hopefully we put up another great game.
Coach, it would be probably cliche to say this, but I'll say it anyway. With most people, obviously, if you cut their skin, it would bleed red. For you, that's really true in so many ways. I mean, you were a Cornell guy through and through, having been a player there and now an assistant coach and now the head coach. Just talk about what it means like to be able to coach back at your alma mater.
Well, speaking of cliches, I'm truly living the dream. I love Cornell. I'm from Endicott, New York, kind of close where Coach Callahan's from. He's from Elmira, and
the Southern Tier.
I'm a New York guy, and I love it here. I love school here, and I feel really blessed and lucky to be able to be in the position of the head coach with our team and for Cornell University.
And David, you actually spent some time in New Jersey, I think, early on in your coaching career with Coach Rich Mosca at FDU, a guy who had been a member of our staff here at one time.
Yeah, I have so much respect for Coach Mosca. I reached out to him, and I said, I'd love it if you could come to our pregame dinner and pregame breakfast. He let me coach the linebackers at Fairleigh Dickinson while I was doing the Teach for America program in Newark. And he's just a great guy. And he often talked about his time at Monmouth. I believe he was the running back coach.
That's correct. Yes, he was. Yeah.
He really had great respect for Monmouth and what you guys do. And he told me he took over. He's coaching a high school team this year, so he may or may not be able to come, but I'm really hoping he can get to the game.
He did. He took over coaching the Monmouth Regional High School team that was in a pinch and needed somebody with experience to step in and lead their program. And Rich, as you know, is a great guy and said he would do it for him. He's gotten them all to some success this year, so I'm very happy with what he's doing there.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. Those kids are probably having a great time, and if Coach Mosk is listening, I mean, he gave me my first job in coaching, and paid for me to go to the convention that year, and he's just a great man.
David Archer, the first year head coach of the Big Red of Cornell, giving us a few minutes as we start to wrap things up here on the Coach Callahan Mom Football Show for the week. Coach, couple obviously around your team so far this year. It's hard to probably talk about Cornell football without looking at the guy that everyone looks at. That's the quarterback. But for you, that makes a whole lot of sense. Jeff Matthews is a heck of a football player.
Yeah, Jeff's really good. He's been a four-year starter for us, and he's even, he does more for us off the field than he does on the field. He's just a real class act and, 3-5 student and a really tough young man. So I've learned more from him than he's learned from me, I'm sure.
actually didn't play in the game last year against Mob, so the Hawks will get their first look at him coming up on Saturday afternoon. And the season as a whole, Coach, you know, the Ivy League starts so much later than everyone else. Your first game not until the 21st of September. That was a win against Bucknell. And a tough schedule, obviously, up until this point. Lost to Yale, Colgate, and Harvard in that order before you'll come down and take on Monmouth. I know, you know, easy to say how you feel about the season, but 1-3, I'm sure you're wishing that things just kind of look to continue. And you as a first-year coach probably having that learning curve as well.
You know what? That's exactly right. And, you know, there's not an easy team in college football, really. I don't think it's really the leagues we play, you guys and the Patriot League and the Ivy League, and it's really good teams, and we just need to keep concentrating on the things we want to improve upon and concentrate on doing the things that we think are important and playing with great energy and great effort. So, I mean, now I'm thinking it's going to be a really great football game Saturday, and I you know, have a lot of respect for Monmouth, and we needed a Herculean effort out of our backup quarterback and one of our receivers to be able to stay in the game and be lucky enough to win it last year. So I'm expecting we're going to need the same type of effort to stay in the game this year.
Well, David, you know, watching you guys over your last three games and seeing what you've done and what you're doing on offense, you know, not just with the quarterbacks, but with the, you know, the group of receivers he has, you guys haven't missed a beat from last year. You're doing a terrific job with that unit, and you know, they put up points, they're completing passes, they're moving the ball down. And, you know, what I saw, particularly in the Harvard game, I saw your defense really step up and do a great job for most of that game. I think they got a kind of a break or a lucky play toward the end. I was very impressed with what you guys were doing on the defensive side of the ball as well.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And, you know, that Harvard game was a great college football game. We had about 8,000 people in the stands, and it was like 60 degrees and sunny, which for October in Ithaca, New York, is awesome, you know. And Harvard's the class of the Ivy League, one of the classes of the Ivy League. And it was good to give them a great game, and, you know, that's what college football should be about. And you just got to make sure that you correct the things that you need to correct and go out there the next Saturday and play, you know. In the big scheme of things, we're all winners, because we're working for a kid game, and these kids are at awesome schools and getting great education, playing the greatest game there ever was.
Coach, we appreciate you giving us a few minutes here. We'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday. Best of luck when you get back into the Ivy League schedule as well, which for you guys will start on the 26th of October. Safe travels down here. I would imagine you're coming down on Friday, and we'll see you Saturday in the afternoon.
That sounds awesome. Thanks so much for having me on, and I look forward to seeing you guys Saturday.
Thanks, David.
All right. Good luck.
That is David Archer, the head coach of the Cornell Big Red. Coach, when he took it over, 33 years old, youngest head coach in the nation. That is, you know, quite an accomplishment to be a head coach at any level, at any age, but to get it at such a young age at a pretty prestigious Ivy League program says a lot about him as a football coach.
It does say a lot about him, and I think what Cornell saw in David was a guy who had come up through their program, had been a part of Cornell football, you know, for 4 years, and then came back and spent some time there as assistant coach. And who better to turn over the reins to your program than to somebody who's one of you, who's come out through your program both as a player and as a coach. And I think they have a great deal of confidence in David and his leadership ability. And this team, he's got an excellent team right now. I know they've had a difficult early season schedule, but he's got a very good team, an exceptionally good offense. And, you know, we've got our work cut out for us on Saturday.
I know in terms of the prep week for Saturday, you know, still early on for Monmouth, but it struck me that you mentioned a couple of times earlier in the show was the word being angry. Do you sense that that is an emotion that can carry Monmouth from Tuesday to Saturday all the way on the field and get back on track with a win?
I do, Matt. I think to a player and a coach in our program, you know, no one is happy with what happened last Saturday. We know we're a better team than we demonstrated on the field at St. Francis. Not to take anything away from what St. Francis did Saturday, but we know we are capable and have had better performances than we had on Saturday afternoon.
Side on a homecoming Saturday, weather for Saturday is supposed to be great as well. As we say, a good evening here from Jack's Goal Line Stand. A reminder that the game coming up on Saturday can be heard on the Shore Sports Network, 12:45 pregame show, 1 o'clock kickoff. We'll do this. Actually, we won't do this again next Tuesday. We'll take the Tuesday off because Monmouth will be on the bye, so we'll be back on the air on the 30th, I believe, of October. I look forward to that. Coach, thanks for putting together another great show.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
Ray Malaspina back in the studios. Great job, as always. For the head coach, Kevin Callahan, I'm Matt Harmon, saying so long and see you Saturday. Hawks will look to go to 4-4 in the year. They'll take on Cornell, the second time the two schools have ever matched up. You've been listening to the Kevin Callahan Mama Football Show here on the Shore Sports Network. Good night, everyone.